What's it all for?
Various artists.
Heidi Brickell is an Otaki-based multidisciplinary artist. Her current solo exhibition at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, Wa Dividends, takes pieces from its larger body, which was originally commissioned by director Sophie Davis at Te Whare Toi o Heretaunga, Hastings Art Gallery, for the exhibition Wa We Can't Afford. Having been developed in a six-week residency in Heretaunga as the gallery's inaugural visiting artist. Bringing this body of work into a new space and context and retitled as Wa Dividends, here Brickell places these fluent exploded paintings in conversation with Rimurapa, native bull kelp sculptural pieces, as gathered from the shores from Otaki and Te Rai Kaiho in one space, questioning the value of our time in relation to Mātauranga Māori, capitalism and our worsening climate crisis, opening up her practice to fluctuate between the spiritual, relational and existential. I caught up with Heidi Brickell about Wa Dividends, beginning our korero by asking her about the beginnings of this body of work and her experience of her artist residency in Heretaunga at the end of last year.
So I did a residency in Heretaunga, Te Takiwā o Kahumunu, to which I whakapapa, although my whakapapa is further into the Wairarapa than in the Hastings Heretaunga Rohe. But I it was a 6 weeks residency there, and it was such a wonderful time, you know, like I was working full time when I did the residency. So the original title was Why We Can't Afford. And, you know, when I explained my full time work situation, I think that just explains it, you know, like, but it was a broader comment on the economic structure of the world that we live in which, you know, there's all these jobs where they're kind of pointless bullshit jobs, you know, like not that every aspect of them is, but there's this expectation of the 9-to-5 job. And I really believe, I just believe it's an entrenched colonizing structure. And it's one that particularly I feel of all of the colonizing structures. It's the one, you know, your time is all you really have in the world. And this idea that you show up at a job, no one's really interested in what you produce there a lot of the time. They're not interested in what you accomplish. Nothing is so important to them as the fact that you're not doing anything else right now. So that your face is present. Maybe I have this experience of jobs because I'm always trying to get more time for myself. I feel like I can do a lot of jobs really brilliantly, and I like to be able to do it on my own time terms. And you get certain, you know, it's a kaupapa that came up over the lockdowns with flexible work arrangements, and it just, after that, there was this massive backlash, you know, and there just has become just this sort of crushing, controlling, you can't have free time. And I believe that is because your time, it's wā, you know, it's wā, which is its connection, and it's wānanga, it's turning over of ideas, it's creativity, it's time to think, it's time to question things, time to reflect. And I believe that our world is structured intentionally on some level so that people don't have that time. So that was sort of why I titled that exhibition, the wā that I experienced while I was in Heretaunga. I got to just spend time with a lot of other artists. In the middle of that residency, I did a little micro residency in Pairangi organised by Kao Chirin and Hirani Himona. And that was amazing. You know, I spent time with about 8 other Māori artists just sharing our practices. And so that's what I named that exhibition about. It has a lot of other references to experiences I've had within Kahununu Te Reo revitalisation contexts since about 2013. Has a lot of other references in there too, but yeah, that's a breakdown of that exhibition. And Wa Dividends, the way that I've derived it from that exhibition, when so Nicholas Butler from the Arts House Trust invited me to have a show there of that, and you know, it's a much smaller space. So I've taken one painting of 4 giant paintings I've made for Wa We Can't Afford in Heretaunga. And I've split up one of them. It was a 5-meter painting originally that I had an immense amount of fun painting, but I made it in parts, and I've split up those parts so that it can fit into Pa Homestead. And the idea there was, so dividends, I chose a word that directly points to money, you know, directly points to shareholders, but it comes from, I thought about calling it Wa Divided, which would come from the Māori wā mutu mutu, wā being related to wai or va, vai, the, like our Pacific Ocean, connecting all of the motu, which a motu is an island, but a motu means severed. So I guess I was playing on that contrast. And then, you know, you go through a journey thinking of these ideas. And I don't know, I just at that moment I wanted to point to, you know, the financial aspect of it. And the to me, really, the dividends points to a whole economic structure in which there's these investors. You know, it's a world we that's pretty opaque to us down here. There's all of these investors that control most of the companies that we are sort of increasingly globally colonized by. And so, yeah, so that's how I came from the Here Te Taonga show to this one.
I want to kind of dive in a little bit more into the kind of switching of that context now at Arts House Trust. While We Can't Afford was quite context specific in its making, with your connection to that whenua and its surrounding pūrākau being quite present in the work, now in a different context at Pa Homestead, how do you kind of see the work exhibiting in a new location? Do you see it as quite translational, or has it given the work a different meaning for you in some way?
Good question. It definitely has given the work a different... I've taken the more universal aspects out of that, but we can't afford in Kahununu. Yeah, I've taken the more universal aspects of it, which was the aspect of it which wasn't so much about the whakapapatū that rohe, and is more about looking out at the macro global systems that govern all of our worlds, no matter where we are.
I guess kind of echoing that question, you touched on it a bit before in your first answer. The way in which the works in this show have been installed does differ from the show in Here Te Taonga earlier this year. And instead of the paintings being in this single installation, I guess, pouring down a single wall and creating this kind of awa river or vine, the works are now divided into four and spread across the space in the gallery. Talk to me a little bit, I guess, about how you kind of see the works in this new mode of presentation. How do you kind of see this translating in the new space?
Well, the original works in pouring down the incredible architecture of John Scott in the Here Te Taonga space, they referenced Kō Whaiwhai in that they come from, the heke rangi, they descend from Ranginui down to Papatū Anuku, and they're talking about whakapapa as well. But here, dividends deriving from divided from motu, they are whakamotu'd. They've been separated out. And I had a lot of fun installing it with... So I'm just going to say that Nicholas Butler, who asked me to have to refigure this exhibition, has also written a beautiful text about this, which is online. But with Nicholas and Michael Prezer, their technician, I had a lot of fun. I came in for a day and we set up how we were going to refigure a lot of arrow-shaped kind of, what would you call it? They were clusters which hung in Here Te Taonga, and they derived from the Mangō Pari, but I used them directionally there as up and down, talking about economic trajectories. But here we've put them more as, I found times when I've often done ocean maps where you're researching your waka and the journeys they took from here to here. You draw all these arrows of where they've gone, and I'm like, essentially you're just drawing Mangō Pari, this form, and it's just a directional form, you know. So we've refigured them, and the way that we've hung them is I wanted them to register as islands and directions, similar to those kind of whakapapa drawings that I've made in the past.
I wanted to speak a little bit more specifically to the works in the show. Of course, you've got these, I guess, two types of work, these beautiful exploding painting works on mounted canvas, which connect to these pūrākau rivers and tributaries, and two, the inclusion of these rimurapa, native bull kelp sculptural pieces scattered and hung throughout the space alongside the paintings. Within these works, and particularly in conversation with each other, there seems to be a strong focus on our present climate crisis and interconnecting Mātauranga Māori with these concepts. And I guess I'm particularly thinking about the symbol of the koru feeling quite present in the exhibition as well. You've spoken about the kind of subject matter in terms of the job environment and that feeling like a colonized concept. What about the subject matter in terms of the climate that you're kind of referencing here felt important to you to be making work in response to it at this moment in time?
Well, the climate issue, I mean, it's something that I think everybody, at least everybody in my own bubble, knows. You know, the climate changes that we're experiencing are caused by, you know, big business that has led us to the point of you know, for people in Pacific nations of apocalypse right now, or, you know, led us to this point. The sort of how I got to it, it wasn't a particular focus of my work, but through working with that Remurapa, which I started in about 2020, it led me to that because I'd collected just stuff that's washed up on the beach. But somebody at some point asked me, oh, are you worried about being able to collect that material in the future? Because they explained to me that it is endangered by the ocean warming that is happening. They said, oh, that, you know, that's killing the kelp forests all over the world. And also those kelp forests. So then I sort of became interested in that because, well, it's my material. So, you know, I then realised that those kelp forests also provide a lot of the shade that keeps the ocean cool. So it isn't the cyclical, there's a cyclic thing where it being destroyed is, you know, it's destroying the thing that saves us, similarly to the trees on land, I guess. So it's just the climate. The climate reference is really just something that has come up that just inheres in a material that I use. And it's obviously something that affects us all. I guess I don't, there's many facets to my practice and I haven't felt I need to, I don't know, have anything more to it than the obvious acknowledgement of the fact that climate change is imminent and, you know, everybody knows, not sure what we can do about it as individuals.
Yeah, for sure. It's so present on all of our minds, and yeah, for that to just kind of come through the making of the work is really interesting to hear about. I'd love to know a little bit more about your process in making these painting works as well. And I guess I'm particularly interested in the shaping of the canvas with them as well. Are you able to walk me through your process in making those works?
Yeah, for sure. So it was quite complex, actually. So I'll just say the string that I use on these canvases is it's a beeswax twine, and I've moved to that from an original process which I used to have of when I would tear canvases up, the strings would fall away, they'd fray away, and I would sort of salvage them and reuse them as a way to create continuous line drawings, which to me is a reflection on whakapapa and kind of the ontology that is in our old art forms, which, you know, you sort of can understand in theory, but there's so much mystery still in a lot of the artwork because it is a visual language. There's so much you can say about it, and you can, you know, you can talk about how we are connected, you know, in a thread of whakapapa and everything. But I think from our perspective, born in the time we are, it's also hard to access that sense in a certain way. It's hard to step outside of yourself as an individual. So for me, it's just a way to imagine that, and working with a continuous thread, it's a way to try to access a deep understanding of, I believe our ancestors saw us as more interconnected than what we perceive ourselves to be now. So that's where that comes from. Making back to these paintings, so I take that out, and now I've turned to using the twine just because it's bigger, it looks better, you see it better when I'm working at a larger scale. So, but I will sort of hand dye it, I'll put it in jars of acrylic paint, agitate it for a few days, string it all over my lawn like a crazy string lady, as my friends say, and then dry it out. Yeah, that's to dry it out, and then scrape it sort of akin to harakeke preparation, and then spool it back up. And then I sort of create different devices to wind it around the sculptural elements of these practices. So sometimes I'll turn a drill upside down and put the wire along it, and, you know, you sort of create through supermarket, you know, the little shopping baskets. So I'll sort of create a spool out of that. There's been quite a few different iterations, like little low DIY technology kind of ways to get a thing turning and all of the strings coming without them interrupting each other. That's part of the process, and then to make that string and some of the sculptural work too. But with the paintings, these were the biggest paintings I'd made in a very, very long time, and it was so amazing. I had a big space to make them, and I had a big barn that I was working in, and so I bought some decking, and I just screwed it together. I cut it, 3 meters was the highest that I realized I could stand it, with the lowest risk of it falling on me when I tried to prop it up my own or lie it back down again. So I screwed the decking together. I went out onto my lawn. I stretched the canvas over it as tightly as I could. at that scale. And I projected the drawings that I'd made, I projected them onto it at night, because at that scale, it's good. It helps me with the amount of symmetry that I work with, and then the string. Creating it with the string, there's just not, you know, you can't do it in a sketchy way, because every time you adjust something, it pulls out. So I'll chalk it up from a projector, it has varying degrees of accuracy. It has enough not accuracy that I feel you still get an organic drawn quality to the paintings. But anyway, so I project that up, and then I lie it down and stand it up. On a daily basis, I use a lot of staining with acrylic paint. And I did this before putting it onto masonite, the hardboard that I've backed it with, because painting directly onto a wooden surface, you don't get the bleed effect, the staining effect that I use a lot in my painting. So I needed to make the work on a canvas before cutting it out into the shapes that it was going to be. Jonathan, who works at Hastings Art Gallery, I love getting texts and help me make a bit of my work. he cut out the shape, so I painted the canvas, covered up after it was ready, sent it to him, and he cut the shape out of hardboard for it, and then I glued it on with rabbit skin glue, and then laid down the twine as a part of while I was in the installation process.
For those who do come to see the show, do you have any particular hopes for viewers engaging with your works, or do you leave it quite open to interpretation?
Well, to be honest, there's a lot of different ideas that I weave into my work. And I mean, you've got all these ideas floating around in your head, but to me, the reason you make artwork is never any way that you're going to articulate your artwork. You're doing something different with your hands, and to be honest, I kind of have wanted to talk about this show in the broader context of my practice. I've been having a bit of a crisis with, to what extent do you want to explore the kind of more spiritual, psychological, existential aspects of the world, of your relation to the universe in your practice, and to what extent do you want to address the political? And to me, this has been a bit of a crisis, because I think certainly my work started getting attention maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. And shortly after, I started to really feel a strong sense of intuition about what I was doing, a strong sense of just pursuit of what I wanted to do with my work. That sort of came out of a sense of, that was in a time where there was, you know, I was heavily involved with Te Reo Māori revitalization through my work in Kura Kaupapa, and it came out of a real sense of abundance, and Te Ao Māori was flourishing, and I don't know, it was like reaping rewards that had been fought for generations, and my work, it was about abundance, and I wanted to make Māori artwork that was, you know, there's a big market for trauma-driven work, or Māori work that's about trauma, and that's really important work, but you know, I was aware as a kaiako that that's not the only thing you want to feed your tamariki, you know, like you want to give examples of, like, I was like, you know, there's so much Māori flourishing and that's what you want to show tamariki, you know. And so that's kind of what has driven my work for a long time. But I think, you know, with the sort of the right-wing turns in the world and the economic crackdowns and our government, the most corrupt and racist government we have had in my lifetime. It's put me into a bit of a, like, you know, wanting to, I don't know, the question of whether do you continue with creating work that is flourishing, or like, in some ways it can feel like putting your head in the sand to do that when there's just such a strong attack. But, I haven't answered that question yet for myself. So I think my work is fluctuating a little bit between wanting to address the broader global macro systems that are impacting on us as individuals. And then there's also, you know, there's also the fact that I'm a person with a life that isn't always easy. And a lot of why I've made my work is to explore the more personal, you know, the more personal kind of relational aspects of myself as an individual. And in a way that I hope, you know, I think the emotional register is something that's kind of universal, you know, other people can relate to. I guess I want people to be aware of the tension between using a creative practice as a way to create joy and abundance and sovereignty, but at the same time I don't know how much of it is, is a fight, or how much of it are you using to, I don't know, just mihi ki te kino, acknowledge struggle without like giving any, I don't know. That's a struggle that is in my practice at the moment. So yeah, that's a question that's in there that I'm not answering. I'm just it's just in there.
That was artist Heidi Brickell speaking to me about Wah Dividends, her solo exhibition currently on at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead.